Find, if you would, the fourth chapter. Find, if you would, please, the 26th verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. The Bible says, "Be ye angry." And what, class? And sin not. Truth be told, if we would just sit here a moment in the quietness of our own heart and our own meditation, and we would allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, pretty much all of us would be convicted by that statement. Be ye angry and sin not. Last week I started a message series entitled, "What does God? What does the Bible say about that?" Anybody remember what we preached on last Wednesday night? Friendship. Tonight I want to preach on the subject of anger. Truth be told, anger is something that affects all of us. Probably everybody in this room knows the power, positive and negative, knows the rage and the emotion, the high and the low, the control and the lack of control, the regret and the remorse over anger. I am finding that whether you are a Christian or not, anger affects all people. Our whole world is affected by anger. Really and truthfully, society doesn't necessarily know what to do with anger. My personal belief is that society is trying to eradicate anger. And I want you to be careful about that, because I'm here to tell you that not all anger is wrong. And I'm here to tell you that anger is not necessarily a bad word. However, you let yourself get labeled with anger issues and your life will change. You let yourself get labeled, your child get labeled with anger issues, and they will no longer be welcome. You stand up in a court and you have to defend yourself in a divorce, and if your spouse has, if you're the spouse with anger issues, you lose every time. So now what the world is trying to do is the same thing with anger that they try to do with everything. They try to manage it. So now you have anger management classes. So what they do now is they label you with anger issues. They try to isolate you from society. They try to reform you by managing your anger. They'll either do that by counsel, they'll do that by psychologist, by psychiatrist, they'll do that with medication, they'll do that with intimidation. And so the world is really dealing with anger and they're trying to eradicate it. Now I do believe behind the world's effort is the enemy's effort as well. Satan would love to strip our world of anger. Why? Because we do need people to love God and hate sin. Right? And there are some things worthy of getting angry about. And so if Satan can put anger issue on the church or the Christian, well, you're against the sin of homosexuality just because you have anger issues, or you're against abortion because you have anger issue, or you just suffer from, so we're going to need to manage your anger here a little bit, church. And really and truthfully, the voice of God's people is being silenced because we're afraid to be labeled. And so not all anger is wrong. Anger is not necessarily a bad word. proof in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26, be ye angry and sin not, which means there is an anger that is not sinful. Therefore, if it is not sinful, then it must be righteous. And so the Bible does talk about two types of anger. And I want to share with you these two types of anger when the Bible speaks about this. The Bible speaks about an unrighteous anger, and the Bible speaks about a righteous anger. Righteous anger is an anger that finds its foundation in either God Himself or in His Word. There were some men in the Bible who got angry, Jesus being one of them. I would ask you this question, yes or no, Jesus has ever sinned? Has He ever been angry? Yeah. Not only was Jesus angry, you will find in the Word of God that God Himself, God the Father, knows anger. It's all throughout the Bible. Paul knew anger. Jeremiah knew anger. Ezra knew anger. David knew anger. Moses knew anger. Enoch knew anger. There is a righteous anger. Pastor, what would righteous anger have as a motive or have as a target? When we're talking about righteous anger, we're talking about anger against sin. I hope you understand this, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to who? To any people. So as our nation is beginning to move its way toward legalizing and legislating every kind of wrong and wicked and sin, that ought to aggravate God's people. We ought to have an anger about that. There's an anger against sin that's spoken of in the Bible. There's also a righteous anger against false teachers and false doctrine. There's a righteous indignation against hypocrisy and evil among leadership. You'll read in the book of Mark and you'll read in the book of Matthew that Jesus was angry at man's hard-heartedness and He was angry at man's false teaching. And so you do find in the Word of God that there are two types of anger. There's a righteous anger and there's an unrighteous anger. Now, I don't think we so much struggle with righteous anger other than we don't have enough of it. But most of the time, it's the unrighteous anger that tears us up. And so I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you an angry person? Are you familiar with anger? Do you carry anger? What do you do when you get angry? I curse God. I smash things. I rage. I get loud. I get quiet. I blow up. I become aggressive. I become abusive. Become this. What do you do when you get angry? Webster gave a definition of anger, and I want you to listen to this definition because I'm not sure that we want to admit sometimes that we carry anger issues or anger problems. And so here's what Webster defined as man's anger. He said it is a violent passion of the mind, excited by a real or supposed injury, usually accompanied with a propensity to take vengeance. By the way, who does vengeance belong to? So Webster said, now Webster's not exactly right here. He's not off too much, but he said it's an excitement in the mind that is stimulated by the supposition of an injury. And by the way, I've seen a lot of lives destroyed off of supposition. Be careful about supposing. Usually accompanied with a propensity to take vengeance or to obtain satisfaction from the offending party. We say getting a pound of flesh. This passion, however, varies in degrees of violence and in ingenuous minds. May be attended only with a desire to reprove or chide the offender. Anger may be inflamed till it rises to rage and a temporary delirium. Have you ever lost control so bad you don't even know what you've done? You don't know what you said. Literally, the moments are black and they're fuzzy. You were completely out of control. Anger has the ability to be inflamed to that rage and that temporary delirium. And Jesus knew what he was talking about. By the way, Jesus always knows what he's talking about. And so in the book of Matthew, Jesus connected anger with what crime? Murder. Let's go talk with Abel and find out if anger can rise to murder. Law enforcement that's in the room will know there is many a person locked up tonight for the crime of murder who never intended to commit murder, but they got angry. Matter of fact, we just lost the life of one of the football players up in New Orleans in road rage, a moment of anger. And the Lord Jesus closely connected anger with murder. As theft is the product of covetousness, adultery the product of lust, murder is the product of anger. Every time I am angry unrighteously, I have the opportunity to commit murder. Let me say that again. Every time that I submit myself to unrighteous anger, I have the propensity for murder. Amen? Wow. Every time. My wife tells our girls, when it comes to the boys, every date is a potential mate. Every date is a potential mate. So if we don't want them to mate, we don't let them date that person. Because every date is a potential mate. You let that heart get affected in a little girl, or let that man, a boy's heart get affected, the propensity for that to go further is easy. So, well, Pastor, I have anger issues. Pastor, there's sometimes I just lose it. Understand, that temporary delirium and that anger, Jesus said, is the propensity to murder. You ever think where anger comes from? Find, if you would, Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Some great truth right here. Verse number 19. Now the works of the, what class? Flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, all of those are sexual sins. Idolatry, witchcraft, what's that word? Hatred, anger, variance, anger, emulation, wrath, anger, strife, anger, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall be in heaven when they die. No, that's not what your Bible says. My Bible says they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Powerful verses. Where does man's unrighteous anger come from? Now listen to me. Our unrighteous anger comes from our sinful nature. I like what Mr. Bunnell said. Anger is the desire of the flesh to strike out at anything that threatens self-interest. Anger is the ability or the desire to strike out at anything that threatens self-interest. Anything that threatens self-interest. So a man has the ability then, if he believes that God has invaded on his self-interest, to strike out at God. Amen. A man has the ability to punch his wife if he's threatened by strike out. You ever seen a man lose control and beat an inhumane object? Why won't you start? You stupid thing in my way. I lost my control one time. I'll never forget it. I don't think I've ever lost my control like this. I was working with a pocket door. Are there any construction people in here? Now, a pocket door will put you in the flesh. And I got that stupid pocket door wedged, and I couldn't go forward and I couldn't go backwards. And I had a hammer in my hand. And I'm having an adult conversation with this pocket door. You stupid, I'll show you. I took that hammer and I slammed that hammer through that pocket door. And I wrenched that thing back and I got it straight. And you know how foolish I was? I was satisfied that it was straight with a big gaping hole right in the middle of it. Stupid. Anger comes out of our flesh. It has the ability, our flesh, when it feels threatened, the defense of that is to strike out. That's why the Lord Jesus put it next to murder. Is that you? Is that you? The Bible gives some warnings about anger that I think we need to heed tonight. For this, you need to make your way to the book of Proverbs. Find, if you would, Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter 14 will just be the starting point as we make our way all the way through this. If your Bible just happens to fall open to the book of Ecclesiastes, why don't you go ahead and find chapter 7 there as well, because these two verses go together. Proverbs 14, Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. A warning about anger. Look, if you would, at chapter 14, verse number 17. He that is soon angry, short-tempered, fly off the handle, out of control, set off. He that is soon angry dealeth how, class? Foolishly. And a man of wicked devices is hated. A warning about unrighteous anger that comes from our flesh is the fact, my friend, that it is very dangerous to you. Angry people do foolish things. It may not have happened to a person yet, but if you meddle with anger, you entertain anger, if you begin to allow that to influence your life, then anger is going to bring you into a position of foolishness. Hold your hand in Proverbs 14. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. We're going to come back to that thought in a moment. For anger resteth in the bosom of who? Fools. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So then I think it's fitting to say that only a fool would hold on to anger. By the way, even righteous anger is supposed to be temporary. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, it says, Be angry and sin not, and don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Speaking of a temporariness, when you take your concordance and you look at anger and you look at God and it says where God is angry, you will find that it was all temporary anger and the praise came from that. So even God in his anger wanted it to be temporary in moments. Or why? Because if you let anger rest inside of you, the Bible says that's a foolish thing to do and it will cause you to do foolish things. So then the pastor must challenge the person who's held on to anger for years. And you've let that anger rest inside of you to where you have literally adopted your life and fashioned your life around that anger. And you're letting it sit in there. The Bible says that if that happens, it resteth in the bosom of a fool. Powerful statement. Not only will it cause you to do foolish things, look if you would please in chapter 15 of Proverbs, look at verse number 18. This will give you evidence of what the propensity that anger has in our lives. In chapter 15, verse 18, it says, a wrathful man stirreth up what? Strife. But he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. So anger has the ability, not only in your life, but it has the ability in the life of others, as I'll show you in a moment, to stir up strife. So if I let anger rest in me, not only will it cause me to do foolish things, but it will begin to stir up strife in every area of my life. God, help me now. Help me. Don't let me say something wrong. I'm having a conversation with the Lord. Just give me a minute. Okay. When flesh doesn't get what it wants, anger develops in our flesh. It begins to stir up strife in every area of our life. So it begins to affect my relationship with my spouse. It begins to affect my relationship with my Lord. It begins to affect my relationship at work. It begins to affect my relationship in every area and every hobby that I do. And all that anger does inside of you is stirs up our stinking flesh into this hot boiling pot just ready to ooze over. If you've ever had that happen like the preacher has, say, yes, I know what you're talking about. Stirs up strife. Proverbs 19:19, powerful verse. A warning here about anger. It causes one to do foolish things. It stirs up strife. Okay. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer what? Punishment. A man of great wrath shall, not might, not maybe, not hopefully, not possibly, a man of great wrath, of great anger, shall suffer punishment. One of the warnings against anger is that anger is going to result in punishment. He even says there in chapter 19, verse number 19, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. That's interesting. That leads me over here to chapter 22. Go to chapter 22. Look, if you would, at verses 24 and 25. Chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man that thou shalt not go. Lest thou learn, what are those two words? His ways. And get a snare to who? To you. Pastor, my friend loses control a lot. Dump him. Pastor, my boyfriend, you know, sometimes has anger. Dump him. Amen. Pastor, my wife, or my, not my wife, but my girlfriend. I caught that. My girlfriend. By the way, in the 11 years that I've been your pastor, I've had to call the police one time in a family emergency. And the one time was because the wife was violent. And you will find that most of the time it's the wife that's violent. She was beating him to a pulp. He called me and said, "You're not going to believe it's been happening. It happened again. What do I do?" Call the police. What are you going to do? Somebody's beating you to a pulp. Call the police. So he called the police. Police show up. They get her. Somehow they get it worked out. She calls me, hollering at me, "How dare you tell my husband to call the police?" I said, "Wait a minute. You're beating the snot out of the guy. I hope they take you to jail." Hello? 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 Okay. Make no friendship with an angry man. So you need to look at your friendships. You need to look at your relationships. You need to look at the people you're hanging around with. If you're hanging around a hothead, that hothead is going to get punished. And the Bible says, don't keep bailing out an angry man. Because if you pull that angry man out of a problem, you're going to have to go back in and pull him out of another problem. And when that angry man is having his problem, that's going to be able to spill over onto you. And if the problem doesn't spill over onto him and you have an angry relationship, then the possibility is that you learn their ways. Birds of a feather. You're telling me you're letting your teenage kid hang out with angry kids? Have you lost your mind? Are you telling me that we would not recognize? Well, my kid is being a friend to that young man. The Bible would say that's foolish. Okay? Be careful. That's what the Bible says. That's why I entitled this series, "What Does the Bible Say About That?" Amen? All right. It results in punishment. It poisons others. The Bible says that you should not be friends with an angry man. Pastor, I'm married to an angry person and I didn't know it. I'm married to an angry person and I didn't know it. What do I do? You fall on your knees and you pray and you get counsel and you trust the Spirit of God. Because there is not a heart within any man that God cannot change. Fourthly, on a warning, not only will it cause you to do foolish things, not only does it stir up strife and sin, not only does it result in punishment, but when you come to the book of Colossians, now hold your hand in Proverbs, but come back to the book of Colossians, chapter 4, we're told to do something with this anger. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 talk about the new being saved, talk about our new life compared with our old life, and you get to verse number 8 and it says, "But now ye also put off all these." What's the first thing it tells us to put off as a new believer? Anger. Anger. So, yes, there is a righteous anger that really and truthfully we need more of. However, there is an unrighteous anger that is driven by our flesh. It comes out of that sinful nature. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention." And the flesh is just consumed with pride. And so whenever the flesh is checked, whenever the flesh is resisted, you want to know if your kid is into pornography. You want to know if your kid is sexually active. You want to know that, especially if he's a boy, check his anger issues. Nothing checks the flesh for a man like sexual behavior. So your son has moments where he explodes and rages. Go through everything he has. Check his phone. Check his mattress. Check his computer. Check his friend's house. Somewhere he's sexually active. For a woman, when she's checked in that aspect too, in her submission, when she's checked in not getting what she wants, and that flesh is there, you better check her too. Whenever that flesh is stopped, there's a strikeout. That's what the Bible says. You know I'm telling you the truth because we know what it is in our reality. Amen? Okay. It's to be put away from us. Pastor, I'm dealing with anger. And I hate anger in my life. I hate what it does to me. I hate the process of it. I hate the fruit of it. How do I get rid of anger? I didn't think you would ever ask. Proverbs chapter 16. Let's start there. Proverbs 16. Verse number 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his what? Spirit. Than he that taketh a city. Okay. So the Bible verse here links anger to our spirit. Now, if anger arises and comes from our flesh, that unregenerate part of our nature, that sinful part of our nature, then there's only one answer to a man's flesh, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Now go back to Galatians chapter 5. I told you we're going to need your Bibles. We're coming back to Proverbs 14, so put something there if you want to. We're almost done. Galatians chapter 5. I read you the part about the works of the flesh. Now look at verse number 22. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh. And verse 22 begins with the word but. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. What's that word? Temperance. Anybody know what temperance means? Self-control. Temperance deals with your spirit. See, anger produces the propensity of strikeout and rage, delirium, instant. What do they call that when you don't kill somebody premeditated, but you do it the other way? Pardon? Manslaughter? Involuntary? It happens in a fit of rage or a moment. And that's what anger does. It just wells up and rages out. And it raises, and the only water that puts that out is the fruit of the Spirit. And when you get the fruit of the Spirit, that's the person who's saved. That's the person who's born again. That's the person who's filled with the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's no room for our flesh. And the Spirit of God brings to your spirit control. Man, Pastor, you're so proud of me. I slammed my thumb and I did not cuss. And then they'll say something like, I controlled myself. No, you didn't. If you did, that's unsustainable. You cannot control yourself. But the Spirit of God can control every moment of our lives. So the Bible says, learn to walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so as I'm filled with the Spirit of God, that flesh does not rage up, and there's control over my spirit, and there's no anger in that as you look at the fruit of the Spirit. So the first thing you do if you're sick and tired of your anger is you've got to be Spirit-filled. Number two, go back to Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 29. Proverbs 14, verse number 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. He that is slow to wrath. Let me read you a verse in James. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to, anybody know what that word is? Wrath. Wrath. So what does being filled with the Spirit of God do? I'll tell you exactly what being filled with the Spirit of God does. It settles your spirit and it shuts your mouth. Isn't that beautiful? It settles your spirit and it shuts your mouth. Shut up. Our mouth gets us in trouble. The Bible talks about the tongue, how it's a world of iniquity. It setteth on course the fire of hell. And so what happens is, as rage builds, before usually the strikeout comes, it comes out my mouth. And so I'm not swift to hear. I'm running my mouth constantly about things I shouldn't over. I'm speaking of this or flying off the handle or saying this or doing this. And all of those words, they don't ever help anything. All they do is they just add fuel to the fire. And so James said, now you're going to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Proverbs said in chapter 14, verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. A lot of times we get in ourselves in so much trouble because we assume or we seem things that aren't true, and we're not quiet. We don't take in information. Hearing is important. Listening is important. I beg you to consider that. Chapter 15, verse number 1. When you do speak, a rough, gruff curse word helps turn away wrath. No. A soft answer turneth away wrath. If you've ever found that to be true, say amen. Amen. Amazes me how people talk to people. It amazes me how a husband will talk to his wife or a wife will talk to her husband. And I think, if you could just tone that down a little bit, you would not set them off. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, when I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I'm sensitive to the voice of God or His leadership, so I'm not talking as much, I'm hearing. And then as I'm hearing, that changes the communication of my mouth to a soft answer. And the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, I'm going to punch them right in the mouth and they'll never do that to me again, or I'm going to do this or whatever. No, no, my friend. A soft answer has power. But you're never going to give a soft answer from your flesh. Flesh doesn't know how to be soft, but the Spirit of God does. And so if you hate anger and you battle that, then you must be filled with the Spirit of God. You've got to be slow to hear, or quick, swift to hear, and slow to speak. And then when you do speak, you've got to speak with a soft answer. Look, if you would, at chapter 19, verse number 11. This is my last one. I'll close it up. The discretion. That's a great word. Matter of fact, when you go back to Proverbs chapter 1, you will find that one of the purposes that Solomon wrote this book was so that the young man could have discretion. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Think about that. I got to read that again. That's so awesome. I want to break out in a song. And the song goes, "Let it go." That's that new Christian hymn that all the churches are singing. Let it go. Let it go. Look at chapter 19, verse number 11. "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over a transgression." You know, basically what the wise proverb is saying is don't take everything so personal. Use some discretion. Listen, it's not worth getting murdered and your wife shot in the leg just because you have a road rage. Use some discretion. It's like we're so insecure. You belittle me. You hurt. You do this at all. You speak a little bit like this, and we can't handle that. And we take everything so personal, and we let other people dictate our lives. Listen, our life is to be secure in Christ. And so the king is writing to his boy, and he says, "Now listen. Let your discretion defer your anger." Now, the world understands this. It's funny, the world understands this. So if the world understands this, God's people ought to understand this. Don't you remember when the big thing was, before you do anything, count to 10? Where'd they get that from? Now, they didn't know it, but all truth is God's truth. So the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. Powerful. You know, maybe God put that person in your path to just annoy you, to help you. Maybe you needed to hear you're a jerk. Maybe you needed to hear you did a bad job. Maybe you needed to hear you did wrong. Maybe you needed to hear you don't know everything. You see, it's like we live moments where God's not in control of our life. We serve a sovereign, providential God. And we run into things in our lives, and you don't know how God is using that. And all that flesh, when that flesh gets checked, it's immediately that strike out. Yeah, go ahead. There's a punishment coming to that, and you're doing foolishly, and you're going to destroy yourself. A little bit of deference, a little bit of patience. And then he ends that verse by saying it's the glory to pass over a transgression. What does that mean? That means you don't have to deal with every problem. That means you can trust the Lord in His way and His will and perfect. The Bible has a lot to say about anger. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you angry? Does it rest in your bosom? Does it magnify itself in your behavior? If we knew what your spouse knows, if we knew what your kids knew, if we knew what God knew, if you knew what God knew about me, where do I stand with anger? Anger will destroy you. Anger, unrighteous anger, is not something that should be tolerated in a Christian's life. It's to be mortified. It's to be done away with. And God can give victory over our anger. Amen. So the phrase that says, "This is just who I am," then I would say to this, you better make sure you're saved. Anytime somebody says, "Well, that's just who I am," ooh, because the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. So you can say, "That's who I used to be, and I struggle with it, and I hate it." But you can't say, "That's who I am." That doesn't match up with the Word of God. How anger can only be controlled by being filled with the Spirit. He enables you to be slow to wrath. He enables you to have a soft answer. He enables you to defer. God, help us to know His peace. Shall we pray?